welcome y'all to the 12th episode of the Strength Academy podcast. Mundo here, once again joined by Grayson.
How's it going, everybody?
So today we were kind of discussing why we care about weightlifting and why anybody else should. And we were trying to come up with some ideas about what makes us love it and want to do it, and maybe shed some light on why other people should try it out and maybe fall in love with it too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just as a disclaimer, I'm probably going to be wavering back and forth between talking about generally doing strength training and specifically doing weightlifting. So if it seems like I'm jumping around a little bit, I'm guaranteeing that I'm probably going to do that at some point today.
Yeah. So I wrote an article a couple of weeks ago, and it's called Love and Weightlifting. And in the article, I talk about the different stages, and they're not going to be accurate to everybody's level of experience and association with weightlifting. But the idea is that whenever you find something new, whenever you find something that just really sparks your interest, there's always that initial, like, falling in love stage. And I refer to it as the honeymoon stage.
Yeah.
And it's also referred to as limerence. Not limerick, not like the Irish leprechaun poem type thing. It's limerence, so which is basically like an infatuation with something. Like you're falling in love with it. You know, it makes you feel happier, brighter. You know, everything's great. And so when I found weightlifting, I initially had that, and you know, I wanted to learn as much as I could about it. I wanted to get as good as I could at it, and I'm still working on that. But like it's that initial falling in love with it stage that makes you really, you know, dig your heels in and try to put some work into it initially.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, as much as listening to him is a little bit difficult sometimes, I think the way John North puts it is really good, where he says you got bit by the bug, right?
You got bit by the bug, yeah.
Where, like, that's all you can think about. So I like that. I think that's definitely true for me when I started doing a lot of the weightlifting movements. I loved how complicated they were and just how much fun it was to do something that was that fast and that hard to do. There's definitely that kind of where you're head over heels and you're just trying to, you know, you're like, do I need to train like 25 times a week?
Yeah.
Would I get a little bit better? And then everybody has to sit you down until you know. Just stop, don't try to do that. But
yeah, when you can't crawl out of bed because your legs are just destroyed, it might be an indicator to back off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the phase where it's really important for people to be conscious of reining themselves in, because when you're in that kind of honeymoon phase, it's just more is better. Yeah. So like that's the time where you see people like come in on their rest days trying to do more lifts, and you just have to, like, no, go home. Like, yeah. You have to rest so that you recover from this.
Right.
So that's kind of what I view as that, like, a peril in that stage of, like, when you care about it that much, you just want to do it all the time.
Right.
And that's when people, like, push themselves a little bit too hard sometimes.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen before where, like, somebody's just, they're all about it. And it's just, I mean, you're excited. You found something new. You found something you're interested in. It's challenging, and it's rewarding at first too. You know, there's a lot of rewards that come along with starting a new relationship, a new activity, because you're getting a lot of feedback in it right away, and you know, you hit a lot of PRs. You feel like you're getting stronger. You know, you look at where you were 3 months ago, and all of a sudden, you know, you've doubled or tripled. You know, your numbers and your technique is much better. Like that's highly rewarding, and it becomes almost addictive because you want to keep experiencing that over and over again.
I think the you know, the feeling of hitting, you know, a PR or having those sort of small successes are definitely an addicting thing. Like, I think once you kind of start getting in that groove, like, you're always kind of looking for those days where everything feels perfect and you hit like all of your lifts the way you were supposed to and you didn't tweak anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you didn't forget how to snatch halfway through your workout. Like, you're always kind of chasing those days. And that's when weightlifting's really fun. But I think that, you know, just like you were saying with the stages of a relationship, where when it's not that first 3 months, you know, and you're starting to, it's starting to get a little bit harder, you need to, you know, really love it to continue doing it.
Yeah. And so, well, let's progress through the stages. And so that honeymoon stage is that initial time period where it's like maybe 18 to 24 months. And this is, you know, based on my personal experience, as well as like reading about some of the different aspects of relationships and when people find new things. And usually the drop off of the honeymoon period is like that 18 to 20 month mark, right? 24 month mark. And sometimes it finishes a little sooner, sometimes it's a little bit later, but that period does drop off. So then the next part of that stage is what I like to refer to kind of as like the burnout, right? Because that's when people have, they've experienced so much of that one thing that they start to feel a little bit burnout on it maybe, or it's starting to get harder. When they go to the gym, they kind of have a routine already. They've settled into the way things, you know, are going to kind of be. They know which days they're going to work out on. They know, you know, what percentages they're going to go off of. And the PRs start getting a little bit fewer and far between. You start to get maybe some nagging injuries. And your familiarization with the sport, it's not as new and as bright as it was before. So, like, there's some things that are starting to trade off. And like I said, this is the stage where it starts to get toward burnout.
Yeah, and I think that's also, you know, part of the importance of dialing yourself back and being disciplined enough to not try to pile more and more on top during that kind of honeymoon phase is because if you're layering that much on, by the time you do get to that, you know, year and a half, 2 years in, you're going to be kind of tired of doing it if you're trying to pile on and pile on. So if you're making everything about weightlifting and you're lifting at the gym, you're doing PVC pipe training on your rest days, or you're coming into the gym and doing technique work, and then you're going home and watching 8 hours of hook grip videos and every session from the London Olympics, and then you're like doing visualization training before you go to bed, and then you're waking up and you're thinking about weightlifting all the time.
Right.
It's going to be unsustainable in the long run.
Right.
So, you know, when you have those kind of times where it starts to be more difficult to make progress, I think that it's important to, well, and like we've discussed on prior podcasts, look at the ways that you're measuring your progress and reassess those, but also make sure that you're, you know, doing, you have something that you're doing that makes you not think about weightlifting, something that you can take a break from.
Yeah, and I mean that kind of goes back to like balance and things like that, where we've talked about that before, and having a balance between what you want to accomplish and the things that you do around that accomplishment, they all matter. So like you can't just have a single-minded focus all the time, and don't think that you're gonna experience burnout, because yeah, you can do it. You can have that where you wake up and watch hook grip videos and old Cal Strength videos and, you know, and just review like 1984 Olympic lifting sessions. And you can, but eventually you're either going to get bored with it or you're just going to hate it. So like there has to be something else to kind of give you some breaks from what you're trying to get, you know, get through each day. So like if it's training, you can't train every day. Your body's just not going to recover from it. Unless you're Bulgarian and, you know, using some secret techniques.
Stanazinol.
So like, you know, there's gotta be, something else that can, cause like what happens if you get injured and then you can't do it anymore? Like what happens to your motivation to stick with what you've been doing before? Because like if there's nothing else, if there's zero other interests, like your life is over. and that's not a good place to be in.
Yeah, you know, I think it's not worth burning a ton of bridges. You know, if you're, you know, isolating yourself entirely, it's going to be, well, you're just going to be more stressed out. So I think that, you know, having the balance to say, okay, if I really care about weightlifting, I need to do something that makes me relaxed and less stressed out about weightlifting.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of, you know, you don't want to have that firm a grip on it all the time. You got to kind of loosen that a little because, yeah, the burnout is just really hard. And then you start putting all of this pressure on yourself. And if you can be fully invested in your training, so, you know, the other things you're interested in shouldn't be downing bottles of gin.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like that's not taking a break from weightlifting. That's hurting your training. But, you know, going and playing some board games or going for a walk or a hike.
Yeah.
You know, something that's not grueling, but is just changing the routine, hanging out with your friends and getting coffee. You know, something along those lines where it's, you're getting out of the home, gym, eat, work, gym, work, eat,
yeah,
kind of pattern.
Right.
And you're kind of allowing yourself to not be super stressed out about it. Because if you're... Well, I think that weightlifting and strength training in general is a way to kind of just train your own mind and kind of improve your own discipline and make you, I think, a better person in the long run. Because it just has for me.
Yeah.
And if you're essentially being a jerk to do those things, then you're not getting everything out of it. You know?
That makes sense. So then the next stage after the burnout is, the grind. So during the grind is when people find out whether they're going to stay or not, because that's when things really get hard. That's when people don't make PRs as often. That's when you hear those stories of like, oh, well, I haven't PR'd one of my lifts in a year, or like, I'm just trying to get back up to where my old numbers were. Like, and that's when, you know, every session is a fight just to stay where you're at. Not even to get better, but just to stay where things are and not get worse. And then there's, you know, there's the idea that you might not ever even PR again. You might not ever make another PR training total or PR, you know, competition total. Maybe that's as far as you can go with it. And then it's that point where it's just like you're doing all this work just to maintain. It's not to make advancements. It's not to get to another level. You're just trying to stay where you're at without losing ground. And that's why I refer to it as the grind, because it's like you're not making a whole lot of progress, but you're not really getting behind either. You're just trying to slug through it every day. And I think with relationships, it's kind of like that point where people start to kind of look outside of the marriage for things to kind of spice things up, so to speak.
Okay,
and yeah. That's the same thing with weightlifting, is like sometimes people will look outside weightlifting to kind of spice up their fitness life. Maybe it's, you know, trying out yoga, or maybe they'll include like some form of cardio, like swimming or biking or things like that. So like that's the period where people have to decide what their level of dedication is to something, and if they're willing to stick it out regardless of what the end results are going to be in the long term. So like for weightlifting, this is the point where you haven't made a whole lot of progress yet, or still. There might be another couple years before you put another kilo on your snatch. There was one lifter that I read about, I forgot what his name was, but it took 8 years to put 7 kilos on his lift, like from the start of when he got really good to his peak performance. It took 8 years to him to get that extra 7 kilos on one of his lifts. And like that's what kind of dedication and willingness to stick with it do you need to have to reach that kind of, you know, level.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, we have to really you know, stay focused on the long-term goal. And if your goal is to just develop, you know, as good a technique as you can in the snatch, but not worry about, you know, being the strongest you can possibly be at it, but just being really good at it and having some fun and lifting some weights, then that's going to be, you know, a much easier mindset to enter with than the, I want to make it to nationals. It's like, well, okay, if we're going to try to make it to nationals, here's, this phase is going to happen in that point.
Yeah.
And it's where you do have to have a lot more discipline and dedication, because that's where you do have to start, like, that's where you'll start to be able to notice, I didn't eat enough yesterday and I feel off.
Yeah.
And it was just by a few hundred calories. That's where it's like, you can tell that you had 7 hours of sleep instead of 8 hours of sleep. So as you get better and better, that amount of intensity and dedication has to increase with that. And that's not to say that you can't still have balance, but it means that you have to be more dialed in, which is why I think that utterly bombarding yourself early on, while it's really fun to, like, stay up all night watching videos, it's like, but you just sacrificed a bunch of sleep to watch videos.
Yeah.
So, you know, saving that, you know, extra push for when you need it and not trying to burn yourself out right away is a good way to make sure that you're going to be interested and engaged in the long run.
Yeah. And that's, so I still play guitar. I just don't do it as often as I used to. When I first started playing, it was the same thing. Like, I loved it. I wanted to learn as much as I could. I spent as much time as I could learning how to play and the techniques and the different scales and chords. And I just spent so much time doing it. And then I got to a point where I started to make just very little progress. I could maintain what I had. I could play things smoothly, and I could learn to play new songs fairly quickly. But it got to a point where I just wasn't advancing to a level where I could just be where I wanted to be. So it would take either a new form of dedication to what I wanted to try to accomplish with it, or I would have to choose to just be okay with where I was with it and then just keep it as a hobby. Right? So in weightlifting, and a lot of our conversations do revolve around weightlifting because that's what we do, that's what we love. So for weightlifting, it's kind of the same thing. Is like, you're starting off, you fall in love with it, you come from some other sport, or maybe, you know, you find weightlifting a little bit later in life, and you fall in love with it, you want to get good at it, you want to try to be strong and maybe even compete. But then there's a point where you reach where it's like, I don't know how much further I can go with this. Because genetically, I know people don't buy into the, like, oh, well, you can, you know, you can accomplish anything if you put your mind to it. I think there's genetic limitations, guys. I mean, it's, you're not going to get any taller. Sorry.
Yeah.
So it's like, and if you're tall, you're not going to get shorter on purpose. So there's genetic advantages and disadvantages, and there's things that are going to propel you in the sport, and then there's things that are going to disadvantage you in the sport. So I think realizing, like, where you want to get to, the level of dedication that's going to take to get there is going to be different for every person, because it goes back to, we're not all built the same way, we're not all structured genetically the same way. So for me, when I was playing guitar, I just realized, like, my fingers just aren't long enough to be playing in some of the techniques and methods that, you know, I'd like to learn. And that's just not going to be a possibility for me, or I'll have to find a way around it. And eventually, just like I said, it became a hobby, because I just knew I would never get to the level of playing on a, you know, a stage. That just wasn't what I wanted. And so I think with people's approach to weightlifting, when you reach the stage, like, of that grind, that's the plateau. That's where you're going to figure out, is like, do I keep going with this, or do I just keep it as a hobby? Like, is it something that I just want to do, just, you know, because I want to be part of a sport that challenges me, of something that I like doing because, you know, it helps me stay motivated to be healthy and fit and do something outside of sitting at a in front of the TV binge watching Netflix all day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I like the way that you put that. When you're having to work twice as working twice as hard for half as much, that is where, you know, you have to make the decision of, you know, well, how good am I trying to be this? Am I trying to win a Masters Worlds, or am I trying to participate in a Nationals? Or am I trying to hang out at AO series meets and just have fun and travel and lift weights and get to watch up close and personal? Or am I really trying to, you know, make it into the top 10 in the country? And, you know, doing, you know, being honest with yourself about, is, do you want to do the things that would be required to do the higher level thing? And it's not to say that they're, like, I think, you know, I used to try to put a lot of pressure on myself because I wanted to be as strong as I possibly could. But when we opened the business and I had to start working a little bit more, and we've been kind of busy just kind of building up the coaching stuff, I've taken my training down from 5 or 6 days a week to 3 days a week, and I'm making the exact same amount of progress.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But that, you know, was just me acknowledging I'd be better off doing 3 good quality training sessions than, you know, 5 rushed subpar ones. And, you know, the progress is slow. I mean, I think between doing a 218 total and doing a 222 total, I had like 2 years or something, 2.5 between my first 6 for 6 performance ever where I got that. And then, but, you know, and that doesn't, and that's not a whole lot to put 4 kilos on, but my health is better. I've improved my flexibility. When I did the 218 versus the 222, you know, I was more mobile during the 222. I had better positions. I was lifting better. But I've accepted the fact that I'm not going to clean and jerk 500 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, but I want to get better because I like the challenge. I like that it forces me to keep focused on my flexibility. I like that it basically, strength training in general has kind of just kept me out of trouble for the last, you know, 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Where, and this is kind of why I think it's good for people and why I think you should care is, you know, having a reason to eat healthy meals throughout the day. Having a reason to go to bed at a reasonable time, you know, because these are things that you can do in the absence of a training program. You know, you can just live a healthy lifestyle and go for walks,
yeah,
and you're going to have tremendous health benefits. If you're just doing yoga, that's going to give you something. So whatever it is that you're choosing to do, I just find that the intensity of weightlifting is really appealing to me. It gives you some of the satisfaction that breaking something gives you.
Yeah.
Because you kind of take out a lot of that aggression. And especially when I started training, I was just way too angry all the time. And being able to kind of have that outlet where I could get that energy out of me without, you know, wanting to be belligerent. And, you know, I think that's where it really starts, for me, did a lot of character shaping. And having a reason to not go out and drink too much, you know, or having a reason to eat healthy, those are the things that I get from it. Is it's a way that I can have more discipline structured around a positive thing that I'm pursuing. And yeah. I think that's kind of a big part of it for me.
No, that's a definitely a good way to approach it. And so for me, weightlifting, the reason I love it is because it's hard. And that's really all it is. It's like it's a difficult thing to do. And I don't know if I'm just a glutton for punishment, but I like to do difficult things. Like, I'll go camping by myself for like 3 days and take like practically nothing and just see if I can survive out in the middle of the mountains. Like, I've done it before. And I enjoy that kind of stuff. It's like, it's maybe like a less intense version of Naked and Afraid, because I do have some stuff, but like, I'm not taking an RV out there.
Don't let him lie to you. He's wearing nothing but jorts the whole time. Jorts
the whole time. But yeah, so it's like, I like difficult things. I appreciate the amount of struggle that it takes to make any kind of advancement in weightlifting, whether it's technique-wise, numbers-wise, even like the mental aspects of it. It's just, I think we lack a lot of difficult things to accomplish in our lives these days. Like, Grayson wrote an article about the hamster wheel. It's just like, we put ourselves in these boxes. We live in apartments, we live in houses, we sit in cars, we sit in cubicles. You know, we spend a lot of time of our day and our life in a box of some kind, or enclosed in some way. And how often do you get to do difficult things within that box? And then we go to the gym, and yes, it's another box, but it's a box where we can take out some of that frustration, where we can kind of focus that aggression on something that's productive and that's beneficial to yourself, as opposed to just, you know, doing it outside and, you know, getting drunk or whatever, you know, whatever people's alternatives are to living a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, whatever you struggle with. Yeah. That's food or booze, yeah, or, you know,
gambling or, you know, whatever. It could be anything. But the thing is like, finding, for me, weightlifting, I did CrossFit before, and I'm sure plenty of other people have, and they decided to go to weightlifting. But like, weightlifting to me is much more difficult than CrossFit is. It always was, because that was the part that I always had the most challenge with anyway, was the weights and the barbell. And so I decided to just focus on the weights and the barbell. And I love it. And I've gotten to that stage. I'm past the grind now. I think that if I never made another PR ever again, that'd be, I mean, I could live with that. I like doing it. If I don't ever improve my snatch by another kilo, it's okay. I'll still keep doing it. I still hate squatting, but like, I love to snatch and clean and jerk, and it's only two movements. I mean, I know how hard it would be for some people to just be like, oh, well, I can't just do two movements for the rest of my life as one form of exercise. But you'd be surprised. Like, Grayson comes up with a great amount of ways to vary it up, and even when you don't think you're making progress, you really are. So for me, I'm choosing to do it. You know, it's not just something, oh, I fell in love with it and then I stayed in love with it. No, I stay with it because I choose to now, because I want to. I want to be there. You know, it's hard, yeah, and I might never make any more progress, but I still love it. I still love to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, and this is something I want, like, everyone at our gym to know, is that if you really care about weightlifting, at some point you are going to throw a temper tantrum.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You are going to have a workout that is going to make you want to cry or punch a hole in a wall or
both.
Just take your shoes off and leave without saying anything to anyone. And that is going to happen. And a lot of times our athletes, like, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. And like that what I always tell them is like, I don't be sorry. That means, like, if you're that upset, it shows me that you really care about this.
Yeah.
And I don't need an apology from you. I just need you to acknowledge, like, I had a bad day and get past it. Because we've all had those bad days.
Oh, yeah.
I have it. There's a shoe mark on the ceiling of our gym because I unclipped my shoes and kicked them off one day because I just missed a snatch for the 11th time in a row, training by myself on a Friday night. So we've all been there, yeah. And we have those times, but, you know, it's like you said, you choose to continue doing it.
Right.
And I agree with you. I don't think that it's boring because there's so much happening, you know? I think it's much more akin to like a martial art almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where like, you know, you can learn your techniques really well and have very good form, but still be beaten by somebody who's stronger than you and has worse technique.
Yeah.
So like, sometimes you do see, you know, blue belts beat black belts.
That's true,
just by nature of them being strong and, you know, maybe they don't have like the perfect execution, but you know, sometimes you see that kind of stuff happen. And in weightlifting, you definitely see that happen. And that's a thing that can demoralize you too, when you're like, man,
a little bit.
I have way better technique and that guy just outlifted me by like 40 kilos.
Yeah, it can be a little bit demoralizing.
So, you know, choosing that as, you know, your path for really just kind of having a healthier lifestyle, like, you just have to choose that that's what you want to do. And I think that the flexibility and strength and speed components are really important to age healthy.
Yeah.
As we get older, the first thing to go is the speed and then strength. And then the number one thing that people end up in a nursing home for is being unable to sit and stand on their own. And if you just spend the rest of your life squatting, even if you don't care about what the weight on the bar is, if you're squatting now, snatching and clean and jerking, and as you progress and get older, if you just snatched 40 kilos 3 times a week to full depth for the next 40 years... you are never going to be in a nursing home.
That's pretty good.
And you're
good.
Only lifting 40 kilos, yeah, you know? So, like, it's
pretty good, yeah.
You know, it works a lot of things. And I think it's really easy to get caught up in, my numbers aren't going up. But even if your numbers aren't going up, it's still good for you.
Yeah.
It's still giving you a reason to eat healthy. It's still giving you a reason to, it's giving you something to try for.
Right.
It's, you know, providing you with structure and like family in the form of the teammates, and you know, you're getting out and seeing people in person that you're interacting with. You know, it's not a text chain. It's not going from at work on your computer to at home watching TV. You have at least a few hours a week where you're around other people. And I think that's something that, you know, it, when people are lacking that, that's when you get really depressed and self-destructive, when you're alienated and you're isolated.
Yeah.
And I think that weightlifting, and by that I mean just being a part of a weightlifting club, because I think that, you know, our club, you don't have to just do snatch and clean and jerk. If you just want to like come in and do some squats and some deadlifts, or, you know, maybe train for a powerlifting meet, but maybe not. Maybe just do some general strength training. Being in with a group of people trying to get better and having some fun for a few hours a week is going to enrich your life. And that's what it really kind of comes down to, is why should you care? Because it's going to make you happier in the long run.
Yeah.
Even when you're pissed and frustrated, at least you have your friends around. You know, at least you have a community that you're a part of.
Yeah. I like to think of weightlifting and life in general as a grappling match. A lot of people think it's a dance. I don't think it's a dance. Like, I've never felt like like life is a dance at all. It's always been a grappling match. You're always fighting with something, fighting with circumstances and situations, and fighting with the barbell. Like, it's not a dance with the barbell. It's a grappling match. And sometimes you're going to get your ass handed to you and it's not going to feel good, but you don't just sit there and just, you know, take it. You got to put in some effort too. And I think that's why weightlifting is important, is because it makes you put in effort, because you're not going to be able to execute a lift that's twice your body weight while being lazy.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to squat twice your body weight if you don't feel like it. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like you have to find something in yourself to keep yourself going, because it's going to be hard and it's going to take effort. And life's the same way. It's just like you can just say, well, I guess this is me now, right? This is how it's going to be. And just take whatever happens and just blame everybody else for it. Or you could just say, well, I can do the best with what I have and move in this direction and fight with it for as long as I can and as well as I can. And that's why weightlifting is important, is because it gives you an opportunity to test yourself. It's not like a team sport where you rely on other people and you know, if something gets messed up, like the team as a collective is responsible for the win or the loss, right?
Yeah.
And even though sometimes one player might cause a mistake on the field and cost some points or whatever, but in general, when you're on a team, it's spread out. The responsibility of winning or losing the game is spread out. But when you're weightlifting, it's just you. It's just you and the barbell. If you miss a lift, it's not because anybody else did anything. It's because you failed to do something. Or if you're trying to hit a specific goal as a personal PR, and that's why it's called a PR, is because it's a personal record.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're trying to hit a PR, nobody else is going to do it for you. They're not going to... We always joke in the gym. It's like, oh, can you do my squats for me? And it's like a running joke, because like, oh, I don't feel like doing my squats. Can you do my squats for me? And if that's how it worked, I mean, it would probably be fantastic. Like, some people would never squat, but you have to do the work. So I think weightlifting should matter, because it's something that's difficult to do. It teaches you to battle with yourself, battle with an external object, and to stay grounded to where you're at, because you might not be a superstar, but you might not be worse off not doing it at all either.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I mean, it's just a matter of like how much of effort do you want to put into it. And so for me, that's why weightlifting matters. Weightlifting matters because it's a sport that teaches you a lot. It can give you a lot, and I think there's something in it for everybody to learn. And it doesn't have to be just weightlifting. Like Grayson said, we do powerlifting, general strength training, just being strong in general, just fighting with something, being opposed by something, because life isn't a dance partner. It doesn't just, you know, lead you along in the perfect steps and the sequences that you need to be in. Like I said, it's a grappling match. It's trying to throw you to the ground. It's trying to pin you there. And that resistance makes you better.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like Mundo said, you know, there's the lessons you learn, there's the people you surround yourself with, there's the external challenge of, you know, you do feel, like, the feeling of triumph when you snatch something or jerk something, where you're like, this was so hard, and now it's over my head. That's a really good feeling. You know, that's something that makes you want to keep coming back. And, you know, personally, I don't think that there's a point to us being on this planet. I don't think that we're here for a reason. So I think that we get to make up our own reason.
Yeah.
And if you wander around as a self-destructive nihilist all the time because nothing matters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if nothing matters, then everything matters. So if there's no point, you can make the point whatever you want it to be. And for me personally, I've found that making strength training and fitness and weightlifting in particular the focus, it's allowed me to make new friends and start a business and help other people. And it doesn't matter that when the sun burns out, no one's going to remember me. I made a difference for the people around me and made a difference in my own life, just feeling strong and, like, you know, whatever blip of consciousness that I am in the, like, scheme of the universe, that doesn't matter at all. Cosmically, what we are doing is just irrelevant. So making something meaningful to you is different than it being objectively meaningful. And yeah. I think that weightlifting is as good a thing as any to sink your time into. If that thing for you is music or theater or whatever it is that you want to do, any athletic pursuit, you know, it's all you've got. You know, you've got one go at this.
Right.
And doing something that's meaningful to you and makes you feel like you've made a difference in yourself, or we're just a better friend, or, you know, a better lover in your relationship because you were more organized or you had a better health so you were able to help out more. Any of those things, they all just come down to, was it beneficial for you?
Yeah.
And, you know, we get to decide what's important. So for me, weightlifting is important.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Somebody asked me, you know, what it's like to be married, right? And I said, well, okay, think about it like this. Like, pick your favorite song, right? And just put that one song on your playlist. And that's the only playlist and the only song you can ever play for the rest of your life. So let's think about that in terms of weightlifting, right? So weightlifting is two movements, right? So you could pick two songs, put them on your playlist, and then play those two songs for the rest of your life. But here's the catch. Those songs can be remixed in an infinite variety of ways.
Yeah, and there's always, you know, if you think about it as a song analogy, yeah. Right? We were talking about, you know, mindfulness in the last podcast. I bet if you paid close enough attention, I bet most people could not tell me like what the bass riff is like in their favorite song. But if you listen close enough, you can find new things.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, he did a bass solo there for a second. Or he did this kind of cool, you know, pitch harmonic like yeah. we were talking about. Yeah, you know, it's just like, that, yeah. Oh man, I wonder how he does that. So there's always that infinite complexity of detail to something as simple as a song.
Right.
So it's just you have to be willing to look for it and to be present.
Yeah.
And
that's part of mastery.
To not just expect things, but to really try to understand what it is.
Right.
And there's just such a rabbit hole with weightlifting where, you know, as you're learning to do it, you start to kind of catch a grip, you know, a little bit better understanding. And then you can read more about it and get an even better understanding and then try to feel what it is that we're talking about. And there's just so many different avenues that you can do. And you can play with moving up and down weight classes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, maybe this year I just want to try to move up two weight classes to see if I can do it. Or maybe I want to try to drop down and see how lean I can get and still lift. And these are all perfectly valid things to do within the grand scheme of doing snatches and clean and jerks,
right.
Training on a regular basis, and taking good care of yourself.
Yeah, and finding that usually ends up being the difference between like a master and like an intermediate, right? I'm talking about like in the grand scheme of like a mastery, a level of mastery, not master's athletes, right? So a master will look for nuance in the things that, you know, they're working toward. So like a novice, everything's new, everything's fresh, everything's, you know, exciting. And then when you get to that intermediate stage, it's like you're past learning all about the basics and you're starting to try to get a larger grasp of the skills. But mastery means you have all that behind you, but you're trying to look for nuances. You're trying to look for that perfect position, that perfect, you know, dialed in feeling. And the nuances end up keeping you in it because those are the things that are still interesting. It's that small focus, that striving for perfection almost. I know that perfection's not really like an attainable, and I don't really buy into the concept of perfection, but like if you practiced in the most deliberate way possible, then that gets you closer to mastery of whatever that thing is you're trying to accomplish.
And I think that's exactly where, you know, we talked about as you go forward and get closer to trying to be a master of your craft and you're lifting closer and closer to your genetic potential, you know, shifting that focus to like, are you the kind of person that can really enjoy spending 40 minutes working on snatches where all you're trying to do is keep your shoulders a quarter of an inch over a quarter of a second longer? And that's the only thing you're trying to do for that whole workout. Say you have six doubles. That's the only thing you're trying to do, is you're just trying to make that one little adjustment. And that's what I think gets to be really fun about it, is that, you know, it's not just repeating the same things. It's trying to just tweak them a little bit. That, you know, keeps you entertained, and for me, gives me a reason to not eat frozen pizza every night and drink a lot of beer. It gives me a reason to stretch and take care of my body because I want to be able to snatch. Right. If I wasn't trying to snatch and I wasn't trying to like front squat and clean and jerk, my mobility would be so horrendous. When I started doing like any of like sort of Olympic style lifting, I couldn't touch my toes standing up. I was 8 to 10 inches away from the ground standing up. It took me like, I think it took me like 4 years to be able to arch my back and deadlift a bar off the ground without it rounding.
Wow.
I couldn't overhead squat to full depth for years.
Okay.
And the only reason I ever improved my mobility was because I wanted to snatch.
Yeah.
I wanted to snatch a lot of weight and was tired of just power snatching things. So it kind of, you know, so it wasn't necessarily like, if you look at the benefit that I got from that, it wasn't necessarily that my snatch went up 10 kilos. It's that I can move better and my hips aren't super locked up and I'm at less of a risk of an injury everywhere else because I'm just more mobile now. And it's taken a lot of hard work, and I've been discouraged plenty of times, and sometimes it takes a step back and I have to work harder to push forward again. But in the grand scheme of things, compared to where I started, I'm leaps and bounds ahead as far as what my body can do. And I might not be lifting the weights that I want to lift, but that's okay, because I'm still lifting the weights better than I was.
Yeah. No, for sure.
And, you know, I think a lot of times people are really hard on themselves. I think that's what it is. Get frustrated and they tell themselves, like, you're not making the progress you want, so I must be a bad person because I'm not doing this. It's like, you know, people beat themselves up when they feel bad, and they feel bad when they get frustrated, and they, you know, blame themselves, and it's like, you know, it just wasn't there today.
Yeah.
You're not a bad person if you miss a snatch.
Yeah.
You're not a bad person if something comes up, so you didn't sleep very well, so you had a bad day of training. That's not a reflection on you. You came in and you tried. Yeah. Like, you still came in. You did something.
Well,
you practiced today.
Let's rearrange that thought to where he says from Fight Club, he's like, you are not what's on the bar. You are not your max snatch. You are not your max clean and jerk. Like, you are not your best total.
Absolutely.
So, but, all right, so that's all I have.
Yeah, where are we at?
50?
50? I think this whole episode was a philosophy corner. Just remember, guys, time is cyclical, and this has all happened 1,000 times before.
That's right, and the universe is infinite and fractal, so we'll see you somewhere in some other time, some other universe, some space.
And in some universe, you're lifting way heavier, so just take comfort in that.
Yeah. All right, happy lifting.
Take care.